This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Do you say and do things when drinking that you regret the next day? Is alcohol a problem for you or someone you really care about? Over the next hour, we'll find out how people just like you and me found sobriety in AA through sharing their experience, strength and hope. Welcome to AA Live, brought to you by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Kia ora, e te whanau. Welcome to the AA Live radio show. This is the show that explores the ideas behind a way of recovery through the Alcoholics Anonymous program. And my name is Sue, and thanks so much for joining us from around the Motu and the world this evening. Mike, hello.
Hey Sue, how are you doing? Good. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Nice to see you again.
Yeah. And we've got our guest this evening, and that's Rowan. Hi.
Hi, Sue, and hello, Mike.
Hey, Rowan, how you doing? Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
Good. We're all kicking off the new show. And so, Rowan, you've been interviewed a little while ago. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been a few years now. Yeah. But still feeling pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thanks so much.
No worries.
Yeah. So as we start each show, I'll start with our sort of introduction. Alcoholics Anonymous is a service based on alcoholics helping other alcoholics. We work through the 12-step program where recovering alcoholics support each other who want to stop drinking and where we learn how to live life. We do the mahi together and work through the 12 steps. In the rooms of AA, by sharing and listening to the main theme of recovery by the way of the AA program, each one of us has finally recognized that we are no longer able to handle alcohol and that we need to stay away from it completely. The most important thing is that we also realize that we don't try and deal with the problem single-handedly. We bring the program out into the open with other alcoholics. For me, working the AA program is a daily practice of being invested in recovery. Today, I am sober and now exploring this new version of life, which day by day is now manageable and, to be really honest, pretty with it. People come into the rooms with a range of thoughts and reasons about their life problems with alcohol and what AA is about. And two of these I thought we could have a little chat about was some of the reasons that run along these lines are like, I can stay sober for a few days or sometimes a couple of weeks, and for then no reason I go off on a first-class binge. Life is chaotic. From that binge, can AA help?
I would say absolutely it can. What do you think, Rowan?
Yeah, definitely. Just one day at a time.
Yeah.
That's how I, yeah, program.
Yeah. And that classic one is too, isn't it? Like they might not drink for, as it says, what I just said, 1 or 2 days. Mm. And then you just can't control when you might start again, or when you do, it just goes on.
It's a bit like Russian roulette or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that classic one too is like, won't everyone know I'm an alcoholic if I attend an AA meeting?
Well, AA is, of course, anonymous. So our 12th tradition is a spiritual foundation of all of our principles, all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Very good.
So we take, we're really serious about anonymity. So, you know, nobody needs to know. I mean, obviously people in the room will know, but they might only know you by your first name perhaps, and no one at your work needs to know. No one needs to know that you don't want to know, and nobody in a meeting will share that you've been at a meeting. We don't do that sort of thing, so I think you can remain safely anonymous.
So even though each one of us has different reasons, there is one common bond, and that is that we all have a problem with drinking, whether that's by how much we drink in terms of volume and frequency, or how often, or how our dependency on alcohol has become problematic, and how close to us, and how people close to us are concerned and impacted by our behaviours.
Cool, so we usually kick this meeting off by reading the AA preamble, which gives you a good idea of how we work. Rowan, would you like to give this a go?
Oh, sure. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement of membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set denominations, politics, organisations or institutions. Does not wish to engage on any...
Controversy.
Controversy. It's almost like a tongue twister.
It is, eh?
Yeah. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
right.
Yeah, and so what you hear tonight are the opinions of those in tonight's show, so that's the three of us, are not necessarily the opinions of Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. So we have guests who are invited to share their story and experience. However, as a whole, it's just us as recovering alcoholics talking about different aspects of our recovery. Mm. So we have one of our pieces of literature that we have that we often would use at a meeting as a daily reflection. So it's just a nice collection of readings. We have one for every day. So today's daily reflection for Tuesday, the 22nd of July, is as follows. The good and the bad. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 76. The joy of life is in the giving, being freed of my shortcomings, that I may more freely be of service, allows humility to grow in me. My shortcomings can be humbly placed in God's loving care and be removed. The essence of step 7 is humility, and what better way to seek humility than by giving all of myself, good and bad, to God, so that he may remove the bad and return it to me, the good.
Yeah, so that's some rolling around with step 7, isn't it, generally?
Yeah. And so step 7 is we humbly asked the God of our understanding to remove our shortcomings. Yeah. So it's quite a hard-hitting reading today.
Quite a hard-hitting reading. Sometimes you can sort of get blocked with, it depends on, you know, how you're sorting out your higher power and your sort of alignment with all of that,
yeah.
I guess.
And I love that first sentence, the joy of life is in the giving.
Mm.
You know, I think as alcoholics we tended to be quite selfish and I think to be able to help stay sober, well, for me anyway, it was in giving to others and stepping outside of myself.
That's right, hey? Mm. It's amazing, that feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of inner feeling of helping someone, listening to someone else.
Yeah.
It happens subconsciously. It happens consciously, of course, but then, it's amazing how it does seem to be so effective in the rooms and for me as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure helps.
Yeah, pretty crucial. I think, speaking for myself, but I imagine a lot of people come into... When you first come into the rooms, you know, you're sort of at your whatever, we all have our different rock bottoms, but usually we've all come in, you know, at a low point and maybe with not a whole lot of self-worth, but giving to others sort of, for me at least, you know, it makes you feel like there's a purpose, you know, you've got purpose and you've got self-worth and things. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Groovy. Well, I think Rowan's got a song to kick us off.
I do.
Which was that one?
You've got a Fleetwood Mac song.
I have Fleetwood Mac. One of my faves.
Have you ever seen, did you ever see some of them live?
I did. Absolutely awesome concert.
Up at Christchurch, was it?
I actually saw them in Dunedin.
Yeah. Wow.
How many years ago would have been? I'm thinking it would have been a good 10 years ago, 10 to 12 years ago they played here at Forsyth Bar.
So at the stadium, eh?
Yeah, that was at the stadium. Yep. Yeah, and I just happened to have an amazing seat with amazing sound and it was really good.
No. Very cool. Okay, we're going to play The Chain.
Listen to the wind blow, watch the sun.
a pretty fantastic track. And while we're having that break, Roman, you were saying, which is really amazing, that you were had 18 years sobriety in May.
Yeah, it's gone fast. You know, it's been amazing. Awesome. And some days I just don't believe it myself.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's pretty cool to be almost like, I'm sober more than I was drunk.
Mm.
So, you know, that's big stuff. Oh, yeah.
I'll never get to that point. I'll be 110.
Yeah.
No kidding. Sorry.
Presumably you weren't born with a drink in your hand.
Yeah. No, so that's incredible, 18 years.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
It's actually my greatest achievement, and it's cool. Something that I'm proud of. And today, I know a lot of people, they celebrate achievement in many different ways. And for me, it was my sobriety it's been the greatest. Plus, and my children, obviously. To raise children sober has been one of my greatest things as well, that I'm very proud of myself for.
That's incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
So how old, not age, but so you would have been in your mid-20s?
Yeah, mid-20s, yeah. Yeah, I was just coming up to, 20, I think I was about 26, 27 when I first walked in the doors, so yeah.
Right, because it's quite a big deal for that age,
young.
Isn't it?
I felt like I was young.
Because it's when you get people, I know a couple of younger people in their rooms, and they're like, and it's not so much, they realise, that they need support and they need to understand why they drink so much or, what's happening with my life.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Then there's that sort of, what are they going to miss out?
Yeah.
They're sort of,
They were
Could I
a lot
stop
of those
by myself? Am I going
to
miss out what my friends are going to do?
So tell the Christmases, the birthdays, it's the celebrations and and just dealing with things. And it was just different, I suppose, coming in at 26, 27. But at that time, I didn't have a choice. It, for me, my rock bottom, we had mentioned it just before, it was like coming in and it was life or death.
Mm.
And that's how serious it was for me at that time. Yeah, so as much as how old I was, I think it was always my attitude growing up was always go hard or go home.
Right.
I had that attitude of wanting to die young, so I think just going that hard at such a young age before stepping into the rooms, I just couldn't keep going. Couldn't keep going down that road.
Right.
Yeah.
Was your first meeting down here in Dunedin?
In Dunedin, yeah, it was actually. Yeah, it was in Dunedin. So, and I'd met someone who just blew my mind at the time because I was a daily drinker towards the end. And she didn't drink. And it was just nobody in my groups, nobody in my circles didn't not drink because I grew up in an alcoholic environment with alcoholic family. It was our glue that kept us together. So drinking was just the normal.
Mm.
It was the absolute normal. And then I met this woman who I went out one night and her husband was friends with my partner at the time and she didn't drink and I ended up, just crossing paths with her and having a chat and thought, wow. Yeah. Some people do it.
Planting that sort of seed.
Seed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people live their life sober, without alcohol, and she was having fun. That was probably, something that I remember that, I won't forget.
And through the 18 years, of course, it's, you've been managed to, through the good and the bad, those experiences, life's not all beautiful and rosy all the time, is it, that you didn't need to pick up a drink and you kept moving.
I think AA gave me tools, they gave me tools to have in my toolbox to be able to bring out in moments of, let's say, joy or sadness or moments of emotion, because I realised that since I've been in the rooms, I drank because of my feelings. So being able to work through those feelings and work through that with AA and having those tools to be able to pull them out at those different times has been one of the greatest things.
Yeah.
Blessings. Yeah.
And as you're saying, I assume that your kids are, they're not 18 years old.
No, they're just young.
So,
they've only known you in sobriety.
They've only known you in sobriety. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I grew up with the alcoholic father who made his own home brew. Yeah, and had a lot of, So it was sort of something, like I said, I grew up with it. So great that my children haven't seen that side or haven't been, didn't spend their weekends the way I spent my weekends as a child. So, Yeah, we grew up in Australia, so we had Eskies and the flip-flops and, we'd go to barbecues most nights.
Right.
Yeah, so that was my memories of, childhood. And obviously, as the nights went on, things changed. But, it's good that my children haven't grown up to that today.
Yeah.
It's breaking the cycle, I think, and it's stepping out of that generation. I looked at it as a generation curse for me and my family, and to be able to, break out of that and to change,
Yeah,
to make that change, to do that work, so then they didn't have to do the work. I sometimes reflect on thinking, wonder what it would have been like if my dad had done his work, because his father was an alcoholic.
You're sort of healing sort of intergenerational trauma, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's how I look at it as well. Yeah. Passing on,
Which is cool. And it's real, that stuff.
Yeah.
They did some experiments on, I think they were like rats or rabbits or whatever kind of animals that you usually do experiments on, but they I don't even remember what they did, but they'd had some object that they'd get out, like let's just say it was a cucumber or something, then they'd display a cucumber in front of them, and then that electric shock them, and then they got to know that the cucumber meant we're going to get an electric shock, and then they let them breed a few generations, and then to the three or four generations down the line, if they'd get out a cucumber, like these rabbits or rats or whatever the animal was. I'm making up some of the details, but the gist of this is true. They would be really frightened as if they were. So they generations later, they would recognise that
the fear was still within them.
Yeah. Mm.
So. And I suppose as children, and I found it so. I've gone off topic here, but I read this book before the children were seven about the brain, the science of parenting, and I was so aware of when my children were growing up and the impact different experiences, different behaviours have on the children.
Cool.
Just sort of that's their foundation.
Oh, yeah, because it's so complex how you absorb signs and signals and...
Yeah, like growing up as a child...
What meaning is.
In an alcoholic environment, I would go into situations very observant, like how many drinks, how are those adults feeling? There's anger over there, there's happiness, like... All of that coming into a child's, little brain was something that now I have worked on as an adult. Take away the,
Good stuff. Go
And when you were, should we have another little track, do you think?
Yep.
Should we play another track and then we can, I've got an idea for what we could talk about next, because I just wanted to talk about... the 0800 number as well.
Oh, sure.
And we can that's really, I think that would be really fascinating.
Should we have a chat about that after a trip?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic.
And you've got a Tracy Chapman song lined up for us, Ryan?
Thank you.
Cool. The classic Fast Car.
Ticket to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere, any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You got a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice, wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. Got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. So I remember when we were driving in your car. So fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. Instead of drinking late at the bar, some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights stay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so you can fly away? You gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way.
Welcome back. It's Tracy Chapman with Fast Car. So we're going to have a chat to Rowan about the 0800, the AA number, the 0800 number. You've got a bit to do with, you take care of that?
Yeah, sure. I've sort of started it about, it's coming up a year actually, and it's 0800 AA Works, and it's obviously an 0800 number that you can ring. And yeah, and we'll let you, we'll basically just help you, yeah, find out where you are and if you need picked up and if you want to be taken to a meeting or, yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
And so basically what I do, I'm the coordinator. There's also other volunteers as well. And I transfer phones onto their phone and they, yeah, do volunteer work for the week and answer the phones and help the caller.
That's cool. And is it sort of like is it a number that's a kind of a 24-hour thing if anyone wants to call at any time sort of thing?
Yeah, it is. Yep. It's 24 hours and it's within New Zealand. Yep. And if you're on Otago, for instance, the call will come through to me. Yep. So, yeah.
Oh, I see. So somehow regional. Picks up that's regional. So you get something that's not, you know, you're not talking to maybe someone right up in the Whangarei or...
No. So I'm just doing my region so I know where all the meetings are.
Yeah, cool.
So that's, yeah, so that basically covers Otago. And then I just...
What's the process? So people call and then you talk.
We'll have a wee chat. Yeah,
and
obviously,
I guess everyone's so different.
Yeah, that's right. Females, if it's a female, I'll talk to them and either might pass them on to another female and they'll go through the 12th step. Just a quick AA brief of how it works. And if it's a male, for instance, I'll grab a volunteer from AA who's obviously a man and I'll get them to ring the person back. Yeah, so that's sort of how that works. And then we just have a chat basically, ask them if they'd like to get to a meeting. Sometimes people are quite hesitant, so they might have a couple of phone calls or we'll go over the AA steps with them And then, yeah, hopefully and get them to a meeting.
And of course, I mean, if you go to that, well, first extreme, since people are often, they're pretty loaded.
Yeah.
Some people are
sometimes sort of like drunk regarding or, when you mentioned
or else they're not, and then they're scared or they're in tears. You know, I guess you get a whole range of people.
We try hard not to talk to someone under the influence because we feel like sometimes it could go in one ear and out the other type thing. So we do either get their number, so hey, we'll give you a ring back in the morning.
Nice.
If I get a phone call at 12, 1 o'clock at night, I'm mindful that the person could be very much intoxicated by then. Still want to help. Give them a quick have a quick chat and just say, hey, I'll give you a ring back in the morning.
Yeah. Nice.
So that's sort of how that works there.
And then if people go, yeah, look, I'd love to go to a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? What does it look like?
I find
after
like
that?
A lot of people are quite, you know, obviously it's a terrifying thing. It's just, it's quite scary to walk into the rooms for the first time. So it's nice to be picked up and taken along to a meeting. So that is offered. Or just if someone can't take you, and you definitely want to go with somebody, we'll find someone to pick you up, take you, or meet you outside the rooms and, take you in and just make you feel comfortable and welcomed. And because everyone understands what it's like to have your first meeting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. I can remember that. Yeah, we picked up a friend of mine this last week, sort of almost given the address, you know, can you go and pick up this person? And that was really good, you know, to pick them up and take them to a meeting. And
was it their first meeting?
It was their second meeting. But it was just about trying to see where they're at for each day. And you know, if they wanted to come along, they could jump in our car.
Cool.
The AA carpool.
Yeah.
It's quite fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And once you start getting that support as well, I think it makes things easier, you know, knowing you're not alone and knowing, you know, it's not your fault. And something that I learned when I first came into the rooms, which took away a lot of guilt and shame and blame, was, alcoholism's a disease. So, disease.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
before I went to come into AA a couple of years ago, about 8 years ago, or maybe longer, I was lived at Piha, and I pretty much got told I had a drinking problem from my partner, and I knew it anyway, and I was desperate, but I rang an 0800 number, but I did ring CADS.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still that similar experience,
like
looking at that number, do I ring this number? When I ring this number, this means this, you know? And then I rang 0800, the line, and this really cool guy talked to me, and I just was a mess straight away.
Yeah.
Like, and he says, okay. And he just talked me through a few things and you know, asked me where I lived and it's going to be okay. And just that first step of admitting, even then, that I'm in trouble, I've got a problem, and what can I do about it? So I can really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's amazing that you do. And you've been doing that
It's coming up a year, to be honest. Yeah, so not a long time, but I just had some room in my life, I guess, to do some service. And I always, you know, like what we were talking about before, in that, you know, with the daily reading, helping others.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's nice to do service once you've had some sobriety up to be able to carry the message of AA and, get it out there. That there is people and you're not alone. I think that's a big thing. And there is help out there. You've just got to take that first step.
And what if there's other listeners out there that maybe, do you need volunteers and that sort of thing? Are there spaces if people thought they might want to do some service and help out on the line? Do you need that sort of thing?
We sort of do have a 2 year up sort of sobriety, but that's not, you know, that's just a guideline basically. Yeah. But we're always looking for other, you know, volunteers for sure. And just sometimes even joining the 12-step volunteer list as well. So then people can give you a quick ring and just say, hey, I've got a caller here. Do you mind going through the steps with them and just letting them know how AA works before hopefully they'll get to a meeting?
So if someone was listening, say, and they had a couple of years up and they thought, oh, that sounds like something I'd like to do, how would they go about doing that?
They'd probably just get in touch with the person running, like, let's say their home group meeting, for instance, and they'd get my phone number.
Cool.
Yeah, and they'd give me a ring and
and
we just do it from there. It's quite easy and quite straightforward. I usually do like a year, just like a bit of a guideline for myself of knowing who's next. So I've sort of got like a bit of a roster thing happening.
Cool.
Yeah. But that can chop and change because people's lives chop and change as well. So it's very flexible.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And that, I'm just quite curious too, because in terms of, they call it the 12th step, you know, I'm just moving beyond the 800 number now. It's just in terms of, you know, you do hear of quite experienced members going around to people's houses, and there's always a, is there a, an idea that you always take one or two people, is that right?
I mean, yeah, usually you would take two people, you know, usually, and like I was saying before, men do men and women stick with women, and usually two women would go around and sit with, and the female wanting to, you know, achieve sobriety or wanting change. Yeah, so we'd go around and just have a wee chat and then usually take them to a meeting,
yeah.
And stay in touch, you know, I think that's so important. To hand over your phone number to somebody, or when you meet them, to keep in touch, you know, just to check in each day. And I love checking in with a text message in the morning. It just puts your head in a good space. And
nice.
Yeah, doing the readings I think helps as well. And yeah, having that little program to follow.
Yeah,
in my day to day life.
And I think people should also know that they, you know, like, it's not like you suddenly have to be sober the second you you know, you reach out or anything either. So it's not, you know, if you just exploring getting sober and you want to get sober but you're finding it hard, don't feel like you've got to sort of quit first before you reach out.
No, that's right. And I think we're all on our own journey, and we're all very unique, and we're all humans, and you know, we end up taking on patterns and cycles, and it's just about breaking them sometimes, and it does take time, you know, and there's no one on your back either, you know. You do you, I always thought. But just keep coming back, because the door does swing both ways. So I think that's such a nice thing to know in the back of your head. If you do go back out there, you've come into AA, you go back out there and you slip, for instance, you're always welcome to come back in, you know, and we're always there with open arms.
That's for, you know, when you just said going back out there, when I first got to AA, I didn't know, you know, you didn't know what that meant. It's like, where have they gone?
Yeah, there's a few terms like that, picking up. Going back out.
And so for the listeners, that means that you've decided to not attend AA for, and often it does revolve around a relapse or, yeah, all sorts of reasons why people sometimes put the handbrake on coming to AA.
And that's they also speak, it's all about progress, not perfection, you know, because a lot of, well, for me, I can only speak of is, you know, I was a perfectionist. I did want perfection. And that was something that through the rooms and through sobriety, I've learned to let go of. Yeah. It's about progress.
Yeah, and there's a friend that's come back into the rooms. Here we go. Oh, yeah. There's another phrase, and I said, "So, and it's not like what it was like. It's not like it's a foreign country and you need a passport to get there or anything. What was it like?" But he was pretty desperate, and he said, "This is the only program that I've been on that can work and help me." Mm-hmm. He said, "I know that now." And,
yeah.
But yeah, it's tough sometimes, you know.
Yeah, it's absolutely really tough. Yeah, and I think just with the world, you know, well, the change, things change so fast, you know, and things have been changing fast. And I think our coping mechanisms as well have, like we were talking about, generations have been passed on. And I think it's just finding other ways of coping with today's world.
A problem shared is a
problem halved. Something like that.
Yeah, safety in numbers.
Absolutely.
All that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Should we hit another track? Do you think?
Yeah, let's have another track. And we can.
I think we were going to play a track by the XX.
Fantastic.
Speaking of fun and in recovery, we had dinner the other night, didn't we, Sue?
We did.
Yeah, we had a sober dinner party.
We gave it a shot.
Yeah.
Which it was really fun.
Yeah, it was great.
We didn't break out the Monopoly in the end because we were talking so much.
That is true. But we did play this song, and so we thought we'd play it for you on the show because we enjoyed it.
Paralyzed, do I have to keep up the pace? closer to the sun. And I've done things, it's one of those days. So don't think that I'm pushing you away. When you're the one that I've kept closest. Hi, hi, hi.
So that was the XX with Crystallized. I think we were going to like have a, if you're comfortable, Rowan, just have a bit of a chat about your, a bit more of your story and where things were and how they've sort of come along since you've been in the program.
Yeah, thank you. So it's nice to, you know, at meetings as well, just to quickly, if we do have newcomers, we share our experience, strength and hope. So I'll just touch base on my experience and strength and hope. My experience with alcohol started when I was about 5 years old. Like I was saying, I don't know if I was saying before on air or off air, but I grew up in Australia. And my first experience was my dad used to always work in the garage. And my wee job was like, you know, Rowan, could you get me a beer out of the fridge? These are my first memories anyway. And I'd go get him a beer and I was always allowed to take the top off and drink that first neck of the beer. So that was sort of like my first memories of drinking alcohol. So it was very young.
And you're allowed to like open the bottle and everything.
Well, that was the fun part, yeah. You know, and it was 4Xs. I always remember the 4X. And, you know, and having that first taste, you know, of alcohol. And look, the time we were 10, 11, me and my sister, we were just, we'd moved over from Australia, from New Zealand. And then we were just sort of, we started nicking it. We started stealing it from our, living with our grandparents. At the time we started stealing it from the grandparents out of their cupboard. And filling it up with water and filling it up with tea. And there was just different ways of, you know, getting it. Because it made us feel good. It made us feel happy and fuzzy inside and warm. Yeah, so that's where it sort of really started from, that 11, 12, 13. And then it just went on and it just never ended really. And it just got harder and faster. Yeah. I knew about AA though. I started drinking, I also knew my father was an alcoholic. And when we came over from New Zealand, from Australia to New Zealand, I started going to Alateen about 14, 15.
Oh, so what's that?
So Alateen is a place where young people, for instance, that can come and go, that can come very similar to AA, but in that same age bracket, just that little bit younger than an adult, let's say. So they could come and it was pretty much a very similar program to come and be able to talk about like their parents if they were drinking. So Mum went to Al-Anon and I went to Alateen. Yeah. So Al-Anon is somewhere for people that have been affected by drinkers. They can come and just share their stories and get some support. And Alateen was for the teens.
Growing up
in those environments. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so back then I knew Dad was an alcoholic. I knew about alcoholism. So growing up, as much as I drank, I knew. I wasn't someone who wasn't aware of the disease, let's say. And it sort of probably interrupted my drinking because I knew in the back of my head I'd either marry one or become one.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you align yourselves or would you select friends or have friend groups that were so you could concealed and, you know, like camouflaged so you could drink as much as you needed to?
Yeah, I definitely ran in the same circles of friendships. Yep, definitely. Just like-minded people, you know, to go out there and just to have fun and get drunk, basically. Liked the effect, not so much the actual taste of the alcohol. Yeah. And just wanted to, I don't know, I suppose it's that dopamine, it's that sort of upper hit, you know. And alcohol for me was my gateway drug. I went over to England when I was 19. I bought a one-way ticket. Dad was from England. Went over there to meet his family, and his sister owned a bar. And so I lived up above the bar and worked in the bar, and that was at the age of 19. So it was always just there. It was just life. Yeah, part of my life was the alcohol. So, and then, like I said, it was my gateway drug, and that just sort of opened doors to other different substances at the time because I was sort of always wanting that buzz, that feeling, that effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, then you got a bat, or well, not battling, but I mean, similar to me, actually. I mean, alcohol's not my only issue.
Yeah.
Well, it is now. I mean, I could control, but I managed to, not continue with those anyway. But it's not dissimilar, maybe for now in our age group. I'm not sure, you know, that type of thing.
And then coming into AA, I was 26, 27, and I did hear you have to change your, they called it the playground you played in, and in your play friends. And I loved the saying as well, you know, if you hang around at a barbershop for long enough, you'll get a haircut. Mm. And I got that. I thought if I keep hanging out with my same friends that I grew up with, if I kept hanging out in the same bars, trying to stay sober, white knuckling it, before I knew it, I'd be back on the drink. So it wasn't just stopping the drinking. It was actually like looking at my life, but it was one step at a time, looking at my life and thinking, well, how can I shift it all to make it a bit easier. And it was quite interesting, the people that you thought that were your friends growing up and that were there, once you took away the drink, which I called the glue, like with the family, for instance, as well, people started falling away. I wasn't as fun anymore or, you know, I think people started, you know, for me, when I started getting sober, people started looking at themselves thinking, saying to me, oh, you're not that bad. You know?
That's right. Yeah, that's you're not that bad. List, and I was like, list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure? You're not that bad. And I'm like,
You don't have to live inside my head today.
Yeah.
It's not just a drink. You know, it's not just the substance. It's a thinking thing as well. Mm. And they sort of do say it's like 70% thinking or physical, is it? What was that saying?
I'm not sure.
Oh, but it's like it's
sounds about right.
Yeah, it's a physical and a mental thing as well, you know, the alcoholism. So, yeah. But, yeah, come into these rooms about 26, 27, just absolutely broken, to be honest. And just thinking, well, I just can't live like that. I did have hope. I remember coming into the rooms thinking I had hope that there was a better way of life. There was a better, easier way to live life and that this couldn't just be it because after years and years on the drink, it was like a treadmill. It was like going around in circles. It was like you wake up, you know, you eat, sleep, drink, repeat almost.
Yeah.
So I was getting off that treadmill that I found myself on anyway and having that hope of a better life. And today my wildest dreams that I had when I was a child, for instance, reality, and they've come true. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
And so it's cool. So you knew about the program through Alateen and through, you know, through your mum going to Al-Anon and stuff growing up. So did you just think, right, I'm just, when you'd had enough, did you just think, right, I'm just going to, did you know anyone in the program or did you just think, I'm just going to look up and find a meeting?
Yeah, didn't know anybody, but I was saying earlier on how I just crossed paths with a woman at a party who wasn't drinking.
Yep.
And at the time she blew my mind because I even thought she was, I thought, how boring.
Yeah.
You can't be having fun, do you know? But she was happy
and
she had a sparkle in her eye and I was like, God, I want that. And I ended up getting back in touch with her, absolutely desperate, just saying, hey, could you take me to a meeting? Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and as soon as I got to my first meeting, it was almost just like a spiritual awakening. Something in me had shifted.
Wow, the desire, that's incredible.
The desire for a drink lifted. It was gone. But I was then left with this opened raw wound, which was myself, which I had to work on one day at a time.
Yeah, because sort of alcohol becomes it's the sort of the solution to a problem, and then it becomes the problem. But, you know, once it's gone, you've sort of got the problem still there, and so you've got to find ways of kind of coping with that.
Absolutely.
Which I think the program gives you lots of great tools for, as we're kind of
Yeah, went over.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely. And there's there was like the serenity prayer. You know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And repeating that to myself in the first year of sobriety, it helped me get through. Yep, definitely. Because I looked at situations thinking, can I control this? Is this my stuff? Do I need to hand this over to a power of my own understanding? Mm. Yeah. So that prayer was amazing and really helped me.
Yeah, I found it quite helpful today, in fact.
Oh, jolly good. Yeah. I know I could have had a little flashback, and if I was at work, I'd go into the bathroom and I'd say the serenity prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Not because I wanted a drink, because I just knew I had to, I was, of course, not wanting to drink, but I just had to calm down, you know, and just find that sort of core
grounding,
again,
yep.
and ground again. And it's great if you've, with colleagues, people that work in offices, it can get quite high intensity and lots of different personalities.
Yeah.
And at times I'm like, I really wanted to change some of my ways.
Right.
And I was almost doing a living amends with one person I was working with.
Yeah.
And that was going really well. So I'd go into the bathrooms and, recall the serenity prayer. And that was just like, yeah.
And it's realizing
just chill out, take your time.
Yeah.
Be kind. Not that I was unfair to people, but it was just this reset.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that learning, manageability.
Manageability, yeah.
That was from really early sobriety. It really helps, hey?
And I think for me as well, it was like understanding I can't control people, places or things. Mm. And that was massive, you know, because I think I drank over those things. So, yeah.
Yeah. So any tips for sort of early people in early sobriety?
Oh, look, you know, come on in and sit down and hold on, because they say you're in for the ride of your life, and that's something definitely I've seen before. Also, just keep coming back one day at a time. Easy does it. This too shall pass. When you walk into the rooms, people will come and greet you and grab a phone number. And before you pick up a drink, ring another fellow member of AA.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's heaps and heaps of tools.
Yeah, there are.
That are in AA.
And have you always been around the Dunedin Fellowship? Have you travelled? Have you got left town or anything? Or have you
no, just... I've always been back here now.
Yeah, cool.
So I've been to a lot of meetings overseas because I still have travelled a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the one great thing about AA. Like, you can go on holiday, find out where a meeting is in the city you might be visiting, or the town, or the little place you are, and you can grab a meeting, and as soon as you get there, it just feels like home. It's just a familiar feel about it, spiritual feel. So, yeah.
What's the weirdest country you've been to an AA meeting in?
Good question.
Oh, that is a good question. I think like Thailand or one of those sort of more Malaysian countries.
Yeah.
But the same sort of principles, the same sort of format.
Yeah.
So that was that familiar part.
Yeah. And were they speaking English?
No, some weren't.
But so, some were, sort of thing.
There was other travellers as well,
so
that made things easier, let's say, for me. And then it was nice just to catch up afterwards and have a wee chat and, to carry on.
Cool.
Yeah, but
I think that would be such a unique experience, actually. I'm just thinking very quickly about that, like to have another language. Because it's still about making that place, being in that space with a group of...
Like-minded people. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the power of it as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Ron, for coming in. Thanks for sharing your experience, strength and hope.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been nice to get to know you.
It's been really fantastic. Really, really great. And now let's have a look when we...
How do you want to close this out? So as we mentioned, there is the 0800 number, which Rowan is talked about. So if anyone out there wants to get in contact with Alcoholics Anonymous, wants to know more about it, wants some help, wants to do something about their drinking, just give us a call on 0800 AA Works. That's 0800 229 6757. And there's also a New Zealand website, Sue, I believe.
That's right. And the New Zealand website is aa.org.nz, which is super worth it exploring. It's got the daily reflections on it. It's got all the meetings on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can dial up where you are, and it will tell you where the meetings are and location and the addresses. And it's anywhere around the country.
And there's meetings on every day, eh? There's meetings on every day, sometimes
three,
multiple
four times
a day.
Yeah, like Christchurch and all those different other locations. The bigger cities have more meetings.
Yep.
Lunchtime,
if
breakfast.
You're the in-person. Yeah, the rush hour meetings up in Auckland are pretty great. If you can go to a meeting at 6 in the morning, it's like, boom.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're starting
your day
today.
Off.
Good yeah, way yeah.
To
start the day. Happy and days. Then, of course, there's the online meetings. And
yeah, they do Zoom now, which is awesome.
Yeah. If you can dial up even ones all around the world.
Mm.
Yeah, I dropped into one. And the other day, I dropped into one in the States somewhere.
Oh,
how was that?
It was cool. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Yeah, I've done a few of the sort of New Zealand online ones, but sometimes it's kind of nice just to get a different flavour and see what, it's the same.
Well, it's also to be in a group where you don't know anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. It was nice. They did a clean time, you know, or a sober time countdown at the start of the meeting, which was quite cool. And sort of counted down so everyone would, you know,
say how
long they'd been sober for.
Sober for.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mean you go around the circle and you...
Well, I'd sort of come down and be like, you know, you'd put your hand up if it was like, you know, 10 years, 9 years or whatever, and they'd keep counting down till the new, you know, the newcomers with their couple of days or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was very cool. Hey, well, I think that's about us for the night.
That's right.
Yeah. So everyone out there, take care of yourselves.
Thanks a lot, Rowan. It's been really cool having you here.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully it won't be another 15 years, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Take care, everyone. Bye.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.